Just looking at the Rambam from the superficially, it's an interesting Rambam, the way he has it formulated. It's like every word is a different step. Okay? So it says the second base on Migdash, beginning of Hilchos Chanukah, Perek Gimel, Lachal. Second base on Migdash, when the Greeks passed decrees against the Jews, Gosh Exeris Israel, who bitlu dasan. What does bitlu dasan mean? They negated the religion. All right. And they didn't permit the Jews to learn Torah and to perform mitzvahs. So what's redundant there? Yeah, what do you have to say? Bitlu dasam. You left out bitlu dasam. Gosh Exeris al Yisrael. Lo hinicho osam lasek b'tara mitzvahs. They made Xeris on the Jews, and they didn't allow them to be Mekayim and Mitzvahs and to learn Torah. What's Bitlu Dasam? Let's go further. Upashtu Yadam B'mamonam, and they extended their hands and their money. In other words, they took their money away. They took the money of the Jews. Ubibno Sehem, and their daughters. Okay, it means that they took their daughters by force. So what do you have here in the Rambam? What do you have here? Two more things. That they had power over them. They exerted power over them, over their financial property. They exerted power over their finances, their properties, and also physically. That's what I'm saying. Physically. Over their bodies. That's Bibno Sam. The Nichnasu Lehechal, they entered the Migdash. Partsuba Pratzos. And they broke it down. They broke into it. The Timu Hataros. And they made those, the things that were tar, they rendered tame. Okay, what is this? So parts of our process means physically they damaged the Migdash. That's parts of our process. They physically damaged the Migdash. And Timu Ataros means halachically. Halachically they violated the Migdash. They violated the Migdash in two ways. They violated the physical structure of the Migdash, and they violated the Kedushas on Migdash also. The holiness of the Migdash they violated. Two violations. Okay. So what is the upshot? What is the main idea of this Rambam? I mean, all this description in the Rambam. First of all, the Rambam is not really prone to description in the Yad HaZakah. What is the why does he give such a vivid description there? And then we have the problem of Bitlu Dasam. What is Bitlu Dasam? The Rambam starts off B'bayis Sheni Kishamalche Yavon Gazru Gzeres Al Yisrael Bitlu Dasam. So the implication, you see, there's one implication in the Rambam. What is the implication in the Rambam? That the whole thing with the Greeks. That it's that the way the Greeks attacked the Jews at that time wasn't really an attack against an ideology. Wasn't an attack against an ideology. It was an attack against the Jews. See, the Lashon HaRambam implies that. That Kishemalche Yavon Gazru Gzeres Al Yisrael. And when the Greeks passed laws against the Jews. See, ubitlu dasam, and they nullify, they negated their religion. See, it's not that it had nothing to do. It's not bitlu ubitlu dasenu. Ram doesn't say bitlu das Yisrael, bitlu dasenu. No, bitlu dasam. So what is it? So what is this? What's the implication? The implication is that the expression of bitla das was not an ideological. They weren't against the ideology of the Jews. It wasn't ideological hatred. It was exactly. There was a hatred against the Jew himself. So against the person of the Jew. The religion is only another expression of what the Jew possesses. So you bitlu dasam, then pashta yadam b'mamonam, ubibno sehem. You see? All these things are an expression of the hatred towards the Jew. That's why the Rambam has both. Question we asked before was, why did he say bitlu dasam? Why did he just say lo nichosam lasik b'tar mitzvahs? They didn't allow the Jews to learn Torah and do mitzvahs. The answer is, because if the Rambam was being descriptive in terms of how the Jews were prevented from doing their, keeping their religion, you're right, he wouldn't have to say anymore. Say the Lamichas Malazat Torah Mitzvahs, that's the tragedy. But the Rambam is not being concerned only over here with what the Jews were unable to do and how the Jews suffered, because of it. The Rambam is really describing the extent of the hatred of the Greeks towards the Jews. And every step is a new dimension of hatred. You see? So take a look. First was Gozer Gzeres al Yisrael, general. It made Gzeres, they passed their legislative laws against the Jews. That was the first hatred. Then next, what is next? The next was Bitlu Dasam. What does Bitlu Dasam mean? It means they negated their religion. They made their religion illegal. They negated their religion. This is not a just religion. That's Bitlu Dasam. That doesn't yet mean that they enforced it. Doesn't yet mean that they actually went around from town to town and that they each has to make sure that the Jews can't do it. Because Bitlu Dasam could be something which is which they negate verbally or legally. But it doesn't necessarily mean that they enforced it. You see? V'lo nichosam lasak b'tarav mitzvahs is the extent of the hatred. That the hatred went past bitladas, which was just legislative. You see? And then they executed it. Then it was v'lo nichosam lasak b'tarav mitzvahs. Then, after that, then beyond that, pashtu yadam b'mamonam, Ubibno sehem, you see. So then it extended even further. That they took their possessions, and then also they took their daughters. Okay, the pashtiyam nosehem is again a sheer. It's a sheer. It's all a sheer, a dimension, a new dimension in the hatred of the Greeks. You see. The nichnasu lahechol, they went to the hechol parts of our pratzos. They broke it down physically, and then they were metame they desecrated the kedusha of the mikdash. You see, every step is a different expression of the hatred towards the Jew. It's a different expression of the hatred towards Jew. That's what Danny's right. What he mentioned before. But the thing is that it's not enough. You see, apparently, why does the Rambam write this whole halacha here? Why does the Rambam write the halacha? Rambam writes the halacha because apparently the Pirsum Hanes is not just to know there was an ace, but Pirsum Hanes is to know exactly what the nace was, what the situation which the, right, which, what the situation which, preceded nace was, or what the situation of the nace was. But the situation of the nace, what's interesting in this Rambam is, that's why the halach is pirsum hanes, legalos, lefarsim, lehalos, leharos, legalos hanes, to demonstrate the nace. But the purpose of the demonstration of the nace is really that people should learn what the nace is. What? So actually knowing the elements of the nace is a kiyum. Knowing the elements of the nace is a kiyum. Okay? That's why the Rambam describes the elements. But the interesting thing in the Rambam's description of the elements is that it's not enough to know what the nace is in terms of how the Jews suffered. Okay? Not enough to know the nace in terms of how the Jews suffered. You have to be able to recognize what the extent of the hatred of the oppressor was. If you don't recognize the extent of the hatred of the Greeks and the different dimensions of hatred that they expressed, then you're lacking in recognition of what the nace is. That's why the Rambam has these each step. Not enough to know what the Jews suffered and how they were saved. But you have to know how great was the hatred of the oppressor. What extent did he go to? Okay? And the nace is always measured. The geula has to be measured with what the opposite situation was. What preceded it. So how bad it was before is going to tell you there's a direct ratio between how bad it was before and how how much of a geula, how much they were saved. Right? So that's why the Rambam explains the extent of the sinner. Yeah, why didn't the Chachamim really, why weren't they misakin really? You're right. I mean, you have a good kash from Megillah. Megillah, you see that they were misakin the Kriyas Megillah. You should read that's really the Kriyas Menace. Why weren't they misakin over here? They should read about the Nace. No, it's kind of like that. Yeah, the Rambam says, Vadlakas and Eris, the lighting of the candle is just like a mitzvah de Resof and Kriyas Megillah. The end of Gimel. And then in Dalek, Kol Shechayev B'Kriyas Megillah, Chayev Adlakas and Eris. So you see, it's an exact parallel, exact analogy. And yet the Rambam, it's an exact analogy, yet the Rambam, there's no mitzvah to study. You would think it would make sense to say that there's a mitzvah to, instead of Adlakas and Eris, they should have made a mitzvah of studying the Nes. The simple answer is, there's one difference. There's no Tarsh B'Ksav with regard to Hanukkah. There's no Tarsh B'Ksav. So the only time you could have a mitzvah, of Limud is where there's Tarsh B'Ksav. Without Tarsh B'Ksav, you can't have a mitzvah of Limud. What? That's history. It would seem that you see they were stuck because they really wanted to be mefarsim the nes. But what's the best way of piercing is learn about it, study it. But they couldn't do it. Why couldn't they do it? Because learning requires tarsh b'ksav. There's no tarsh b'ksav, there's no learning. Anything that we learn always has tarsh b'ksav. There's no such thing as learning without tarsh b'ksav. The tarsh about peh that we learn is based on tarsh b'ksav, but there must be a corpus, a body of the Tarsh B'Ksav. Without the corpus of the Tarsh B'Ksav, without the body of knowledge of the Tarsh B'Ksav, there's no mitzvah limud. And that's why in Hanukkah they could never make a mitzvah limud. If they would have made a mitzvah limud, it would have been, there would have been every Baal Teshuv. But they're saying that there's more Tarsh B'Ksav than there is. It was after the era of Nevuah, after the last Nevi'im, no more prophets, so there was no more Tarsh B'Ksav. That was it. The end of Tarsh B'Ksav. So they were unable to make a mitzvah limud. Okay, so the only thing they could do was create a mitzvah of hadlak, a maisa mitzvah the rabbanim could create. But limud they couldn't do anymore. So now the knowledge of the facts, you see, the knowledge of the facts cannot become a substance of limud. But the knowledge of the facts are somehow involved in pirsum hanes. Simply, in simple terms, it's the objective of it's the objective of the Pearsum. The objective of the Pearsum is that people should know what happened. So to know the details is the objective of the Pearsum. Now the Rambam says, everything was an attack against the Jews. Migdash was their Migdash. Why did they attack the Migdash? Because it was the Jews. That was the place which represents the highest expression of the ideology of the Jews. It was all hatred against the Jews. That's what there is. So the Rambam holds that it's a mitzvah to know the extent of the anti-Semitism. That's the person has to know the extent and the details of the anti-Semitism. Everyone has a different expression. There's nothing left after the Rambam gets finished. Every single aspect has been taken in. Physically, financially, you have it against the Gozer Xeros, general. Bitludasam, then they executed the Das, and then then you have it against the Mikdash. That's it. Nothing left. You see, the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah, even though the mitzvah is not Talmud Torah, I mean, the mitzvah, it's Kriyas HaMegillah, but it's a Kriya of Chetz, a Chetz Shel Kriya. It's a mitzvah of Kriyas Kisvei Kodesh. It's a specific mitzvah of Kriyas Kisvei Kodesh. If there's no Kisvei Kodesh, there can't be any Kriya. So apparently the objective of the Nair, the objective of the Nair is that people should know about what happened. It's exactly the same thing like Beit Tzitzis. Just like Beit Tzitzis, Rishon says, Chatam is Komitzis
Rishon. But that's not same the thing.
But the Maisa Mitzvah, so there's no Mitzvah to look at my Tzitzis. Or to remember the Mitzvah Hashem. There's no Maisa Mitzvah, but that's the objective of the Maisa. That's the objective of the Mitzvah.
By knowing all these things, it's qualitatively better.
The only thing you could say is, it's a kiyum. That's it. I tell you what I think. It reminds me of one thing. It reminds me of the Rav Chaim in the Rambam in Perek Chof Dalet in Hilchos Shabbos.
Me too. That's
right. I think really Rav Chaim answered this question. Because, you see, the Rav Chaim says it like this. In Perek Chof Dalet, Hilchos Shabbos, the Rav Chaim talks about the Rambam where he says, why did they make muktzah? Because they didn't have muktzah, so you'd never... So the batul hatam, the Rambam says, batul hatam. That if they didn't have muktzah, so then people would carry things around from place to place. Shabbos, they'll stop moving, working on Shabbos, and they'll work on Shabbos. It'll be a kiyom chol. It'll be like a regular day Shabbos. He says batul hatam, and the reason of the Torah is going to be batul. What's the reason of the Torah that says leman yenuach, shachar v'chol, leman yenuach. The pasuk over there, right? What does leman yenuach mean? Leman Yenoch means that all the mitzvahs of Shabbos were created in order that it should be a day of menucha. That's what it means. So therefore, the Chacham had to institute muktzah in order that the reason of the Torah should be instituted. Otherwise, people apparently were carrying things around all Shabbos. So then the Shabbos would be like a regular day. So therefore, what did the Chacham have to do? They had to institute muktzah in order that the Tam of the Torah should be instituted. So what do you see from this, Rav Chaim? One thing. That wherever it's a tam of the Torah, there's a so Rav Chaim asked. He said, "What is the Rav Chaim says? What kind of a thing is batla tam?" So Rav Chaim said, "It's a kiyum. It's a kiyum. Leman yenuach is a kiyum." Says leman yenuach is not a mitzvah. It doesn't say in the Torah that you should be noach. It's a reason in order to create that it should be yenuach. So it's a reason. So Rav Chaim said, "It's a kiyum. It's a kiyum." Now the Chacham came along. In other words, you could have a situation where you have a kiyuma mitzvah, you fulfill a mitzvah, there's no obligation, but there's a fulfillment. So if a person has a shvisa nikaris on Shabbos, even though the Torah does not say anywhere that you must have a shvisa nikaris, but if a person does have a shvisa nikaris on Shabbos, if he does rest in Shabbos, make it a different day, so there's a kiyum, he has a fulfillment. So the Chachamim came and they made that in that fulfillment, they made it obligatory. Before they came along, it was optional. They came along and they made it obligatory. The one who is a letter from Rav Shmuel Goyen, that he was the first one that wrote on this, that you can have a case in the Torah where there's no obligation for a mitzvah, yet there's a fulfillment of the mitzvah. So Rav Chaim said that this is what the Rambam means by bat latam. Atam means it's a fulfillment without a chiyuv. So I would say like this, that this idea you have to extend to kol haTorah kula. Not why is Leman Yenuach and Shabbos a special yachson? Why should that be any different? Leman Yenuach Shabbos is the same as any other Talmud mitzvah. Leman Yenuach. Le'urisim asal zuchatam zchom mitzvahs al Hashem. The same thing. It's the same. The purpose of the tzitzis is that a person should remind himself of a mitzvah Hashem. So anytime there's a tam in the Torah where it's not halachically legislated as an obligation, there's a kiyum. There's a kiyum. So therefore, every tam really is a kiyum. So that's why the same thing over here, that the whole objective of Pirsum HaNeis is that the Neis should be known, the details of the Neis should be known. So if that's the Tam of the Halacha, if that's the Tam of the Maisa HaMitzvah, it's a Kiyum. It's a Kiyum. Every Tam is a Kiyum. It has to be that way, logically. If the Tam is not a Kiyum, it doesn't make any sense. You're going to tell me that all the mitzvahs have a purpose. You tell me that the purpose itself, when a person does the purpose, is nothing. It's just the mitzvah itself is going to be something, and the purpose is going to be absolutely nothing. Can't be. It has to be a kiyum. So we're coming according to this formulation that there's maaseh hamitzvah, which means actions which are obligatory, which you're chayav to do, and then the objective of these maaseh hamitzvah are a kiyum hamitzvah. They have a formulation of a kiyum hamitzvah. Without a machayev, that's the way it'll always work out. It's a universal. It's the objective of Hadlakas HaNer is Pearson. So every bit of Pearson that takes place, the more Jews know about the event, that's a Kiyum. It's a Kiyum and Pearson. It's a Kiyum and Pearson. The person who gained the knowledge has a Kiyum. Has a Kiyum. So it comes out that what is that learning the details of the Rambam is a Kiyum. Learning the details of the Rambam, or having knowledge of the details of the Rambam on Hanukkah is a Kiyum. The rest of the year, it's a Kiyum of Limud. It's a Kiyum of Limud. Just learning about what the Halacha of Hanukkah is. That's right. The example, the purpose of the mezuzah. The Rambam writes the purpose of the mezuzah. That is to the person, every time he goes in, he sees Yichud Hashem, and it reminds him of Avas Hashem, and he gets involved in the true ideas. So you're going to tell me if a person, if that happens to a person, he sees the mezuzah and reminds him of true ideas, it's not nothing? It doesn't make any sense. You mean to say putting the mezuzah on the wall is a chiyuv mitzvah, but the whole objective of the mezuzah is nothing. Can't say that. It has to be. It's a kiyum. It's a kiyum. It can't be legislated because you can't legislate philosophy. You can't legislate perfection. But the perfection is definitely a fulfillment. It's a kiyum. That's the whole purpose of the mitzvah. So therefore, what we're saying is that every time the objective of the Torah is, the objective of the Torah is realized, it's a kiyum without, there's no machayim. It doesn't go into tayag, because tayag is only with his chiyuv. But it is a kiyum mitzvah. It's a kiyum mitzvah. Next, v'tzal ham liYisrael ma'od mivneya. V'tzal ham liYisrael, and it was very, well, it means it was very painful for the Jews. Ma'od mipneihem, v'lochatzom lachatz gadol. See, it's an interesting thing. First, the Rambam gives this whole description before about what they did. Then the Rambam says, and it was very painful for the Jews. V'lochatzom lachatz gadol. And then they oppressed them with a great oppression. What was he describing before?
No.
This corroborates what we said before, that the Rambam up to here is not talking about the Jews. The Rambam up to here is just describing the anti-Semitism of the Greeks. That's, in other words, the way the Rambam formulates it, it's a logical formulation, not just to say they were oppressed. What do you mean they were oppressed? He describes the oppressor, all the steps the oppressor went through. And now he's describing how the oppressed. Now he's taking the Jews who were oppressed. What was their situation? Okay. Salam is all my name. Lachatz and lachatz gadol. It means the Jews suffered great oppression because they're in a lot of pain and they suffered great oppression. Okay. Ad sherichim aleihem elokei avoseinu voshiyem miyodom v'itzilem. All right. Well, it's important to know, in other words, according to the Rambam, the extent of the suffering of the Jews, how the Jews took these laws. Did they suffer a lot by it, or did they give into it? They didn't suffer so much. In other words, like this, the significance of the nace is measured by the change of state that the people underwent. In other words, they went from a state of suffering and oppression to a state of gula. So if they didn't experience a state of suffering, so then that detracts from the nace. The nace is measured by the state of the people that they were in, at the emotional state of the people that they were in at the time. That's how you measure the extent of the nace. If they took it lightly, the nace is not such a great one. The gula is a nace. Because the Rambam says, he says, Ad sherichem aleihem alakei avoseinu voshiyem miyadam v'itzilam. He says, until that the oppression was so great, until God had mercy upon them. Richem aleihem had mercy upon them, and he saved them from their enemies. All right? The Rambam says, sherichem aleihem alakei avoseinu. Alakei avoseinu, yeah. Right. Alakei avoseinu means... Avos always means, that means Pasayashgacha, the Yavas. Yavas means that was special Ashgacha that set up the nation. And because of that, so God had Rahmas on them. The implication of the Rambam is they weren't suffering, there would be no Gula. The only reason there was a Gula was because they were suffering. If they weren't suffering, there wouldn't be Gula. It says because the oppression was so great. Ad sherichem aleihem, until it reached the point that God had rachmanas on them because of the greatness of the oppression. But if they weren't suffering, if they were going along, they were giving in little by little, so then there wouldn't have been any gula. Why? Very simple why. Because, exactly, because then they would have no part of the Ashgacha. They wouldn't be part of the, they wouldn't be related to the Avos. See, the only way they're related to the Avos is because of the fact that they suffer because of Bitlad. They suffer because of Bitladas. If they didn't suffer because of Bitladas, then there'd be no relationship between them and the Avos, and there'd be no Ashgacha anymore. Then there'd be no Ashgacha. What? So what is this part of the Rambam? What does this part of the Rambam really describe? What does part of the Rambam really describe? The Rambam describes over here, you see, it's important to know how precisely and why the Ashgacha related to this situation. You have to know how and why the Ashgacha related. Otherwise, it lacks in the, it lacks in Pirsum Anais. Pirsum Anais really is not just that there was a miracle, but Pirsum Anais means that you have to understand how the Ashgacha related to these people at that time. So that's why you have to know that they responded. Their reaction was responsible for the Ashgacha. So if you don't know what was responsible for the Ashgacha, so then you really don't know anything about the Pirsum Anais. Then you're lacking in Pirsum Anais. Pirsum Anais really boils down at this point in the round to two things. First of all, the extent of the situation, the phenomena, the physical phenomena that existed at the time. In other words, who the oppressors were, what their intentions were, what the situation was, and also how the Ashgacha, why the Ashgacha related to the to Klal Yisrael at that time. You see, because the Nais really involves two things. It involves the physical material situation, and then it involves the relationship between God and the people. So therefore you must have of necessity you must have both. If you're lacking in one of them, so then you're lacking in Pirsum Anais. You see over here it's not the philosophical reason over here. It's not because of God's plan that there should be a Torah. But on the contrary, apparently there's a very important principle here that the whole concept of Pirsum Anais and Shevach Vaydor is based upon. What is that concept? The concept is like this, that God saved these Jews because of themselves. Not because of future plans. You see, the Rambam only mentions future plans later. He says, "V'chazor malchus Yisrael yeser masayim shana ad achor ben hasheni." He says that it lasted for 200 years. This redemption, this victory that the Jews had lasted for 200 years. So that's only later he talks about the extent of the miracle, lasted 200 years. But at first, he only mentions one thing: that generation, God saved that generation itself. What does it show you? What is Rambam saying? Rambam saying like this. That the reason why the Ashgacha related to them was because of they themselves. Which means to say that there is no Shevach V'Hodah unless you recognize the institution of Ashgacha Pratis. That God relates to people individually and he saves them from their bad state. For their own sake. Nothing to do with the plan of the Ashgacha. If it's not for their own sake, then there's no Shevach Vahodah. If it's not for their own sake, then there's no Shevach. That kind of Shevach Vahodah a Malach could talk about. But the Shevach Vahodah, that God created the universe, and God is, and what? Yeah. So you see, it's the same thing by Mitzrayim also. By Mitzrayim, by Gulas Mitzrayim also. By Gulas Mitzrayim, we say, it means that the Shevach Vodah is only possible if a person can think, and it's true, it's not a matter of, it's not that we're trying to think why it's not true, that the fact, if he recognized the fact that God relates to him because of his sorrow, because of his situation. If it's not because of his situation, just because of an ultimate plan, then there's no Shevach Vodah. You know what I mean? Then there's no Shevach. The Shevach Vodah was that God saved them from their personal grief because they were in line with the Ashgacha, and because they were in line with the Ashgacha, so God saved them. But the miracle was related to them, that God's Ashgacha related to them as people, simply to save them from their sorrow. The Shevach is not because of the overall picture. The Shevach is not because of the overall picture. The Shevach is because God, the Shevach to God is that God relates to these people and he saves them from their tragedy. That's the Shevach. Because of them, not because of the, not because of an overall plan. That's right. It's midas haracham.
What?
Because of their relationship to Ashgacha, they were deserving of being saved from their own grief.
Then it's not because
of Hashem. I thought that God does such a thing that he helps a person, an individual, or a group. He helps that group and relates to them and saves them from their tragedy. That's the Shavuot HaDor. If you don't have that idea, there's no Shavuot HaDor. What are you giving Shavuot HaDor for? That God is great and God has created a universe and it gives Matan Torah. Yeah, it's very nice, but that's an abstract Shavuot HaDor. This is a special, the Shavuot HaDor on Hanukkah is a special Shavuot HaDor of Nisim, which is like the bracha that a person has a place where a Nis was done from. She's a bracha, she has a Nis, he has to make a bracha. It means personally. So over here, it's personal, but it's to an entire nation. It's to the entire nation. But it's because of the fact that he saved the nation from their tragedy. That's what it has to be. Without that premise, there is no concept. There's no Shavuot HaDor. There are other types of Shavuot HaDor. You say it every day. Different Shavuot HaDor. Avara Avtanu and Baruch Shem Vayolam. That's Shavuot HaDor and Tefillah. That's everyday Shavuot HaDor. That's an abstract Shavuot HaDor. That God is great. He created the universe and he gave the Torah and everything. Fine. But that's a different kind of Shavuot. This is a personal Shavuot HaDor. The personal Shavuot HaDor that he relates to people and saves them from their own tragedies. Because of their situation. That's Shavuot HaDor.
Not for their
own. Elokei Avoseinu means that since they were Mischosavos, which means to say just because they were related to to God through the Avos, so that's why they warranted this Hashgacha that they should be saved from their oppression. But the Shavuot HaDor is that God relates to people and saves them from their own troubles. Saves them from, if you don't have that concept, then that's not the Shavuot HaDor of Hanukkah. That's another Shavuot HaDor, Baruch Shem Vayolam. But the Shavuot HaDor of Hanukkah is that he relates to people and saves them from their personal troubles. And then this was to the Klal. That's what the Rambam says. Then, not because of any future plans, but that's the Shavuot. So that's not to deny that there's always a future plan. So that's true, but that's not the Shavuot. The Shavuot is not related to the aspect of God that's a future plan, but rather to the fact that God is merachem on them because of their troubles and because of their situation, and he saves them from their situation. It cannot be an ideological hate on the part of the God. There can't be an ideological hate by Goyim. The Jews can have an ideological hate. But the Goyim cannot have an ideological hate. It's impossible. Why? Very simple. Because an ideological hate has to be based. What is an ideological hate? An ideological hate means that you want to wipe out certain false ideas. Right? It's an impossibility for a guy to have such an ideological hate. So it has to be a personal thing against the Jews. That's the way it has to be. We're the only ones that have an ideological hate. That's the mitzvah mafias amolek. It's a hatred. It's a hatred of the false ideology. That's what the Rambam means. So really, all anti-Semitism is never ideological. It's always personal. What it means is that because we are a vehicle of the Ashgacha, so that's why, because we are a vehicle of Torah, so that's why we have a special Ashgacha, and the Ashgacha relates to our personal needs as well. If the Ashgacha was relating to someone because we're on the level inherently, the oppression could never have occurred. So there's different, so a person can, different level of Ashgacha. A person can relate to the Ashgacha because it's on the level inherently, means he lives like a tzaddik, there's nothing. Then the oppression will never occur. But if he's merely a vehicle, the class was reduced to a vehicle, it functions as a vehicle, then they also have a certain level where the Ashgacha relates to them at certain times to save them from their oppression. And because they were to satisfy certain needs, there is a certain Ashgacha like that. And that's really what the Shavuot HaDor is. Shavuot HaDor is that the Ashgacha relates to their needs at that time, just because they're a vehicle. That's all the canvas in them. The Rav said that the only hope that you have is that you're a part of the klal. He says, so you have to be a part of the klal. It says, a yachid can just say tzedek adin. That's it. The whole Al-Nisim and the bracha of Sh'os Anisim Lavaseinu, by Yom Meim Azman, that's it. The nisim is, it means personal nisim, to satisfy their needs, in order to improve their personal situation. That's the shevach vaydor. That's the nature of the shevach vaydor. It's a different kind of shevach vaydor than the general shevach vaydor. What is that? It's like a personal nes that occurs to a person. He's chayav to say she'asli nes b'makom zeh. Same bracha.
Yeah.
It was definitely, that's why it's important to have, to know that it was a nes. The ingredients of the nes is to know the extent of the hatred of the people. So you see their intention. The hatred of the Jew is actually a primitive psychological emotion. And that's the source of it. It's a primitive psychological emotion, and that's why it's always a personal. It's always against the person of the Jew. Because the primitive psychological does not work in an ideological plane. And so what does Ram say? The Gavra B'dei Chashmonai HaKohanim HaGdolim V'Hargum V'Oshir Yisrael Miyada. So you see, so there's two things over here. You have to know the Hashgacha. You have to know how the Hashgacha related. So why the Hashgacha related, how the Hashgacha related. And also you have to know the people through whom the Hashgacha related. That's the part of the Pesach Manes. So you have to know, B'nei Chashmonai HaKohanim HaGdolim, right? And they were the ones that were the vehicle of the Hashgacha. B'Oshir Yisrael Miyada. All right. It's an extent, the expression of the, it's the extent of the, you have to know the form that the Hashgacha took. He says, Voshiyu Yisrael Miyadam. They saved them. Right. First he says that God saved them, and here he says that they saved them. You see, the thing is like this, that the Hashgacha will never work if the Jews are passive. There's no such Hashgacha like that. That would lack in Hashem Vador. The thing is that the Hashgacha, that's what the Rambam is saying. The Hashgacha won't work if people are passive. There's no, that's a crazy idea. To say, to be Meshabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that everybody went to sleep and God saved them. That's a dream world concept. That's not the way the Hashgacha works. That lacks an Hashgacha. The Hashgacha, you have to appreciate the Hashgacha in the way it is in reality, realistically. The Hashgacha works only if only through the efforts of the people. It means that the people are realistic, then the Hashgacha works. If the people are not tied into reality, then there's no Hashgacha. So it's by the way, that he prepared for three things. Tefillah, Dara, Muhammad. Prepared for all three, because there are people, a lot of people will be mispowered, a lot of people go to war, but very few people have the total idea of Hashgacha, the total idea of reality. The total idea of reality is that there is a God, and after mispowered, and there's a reality, and God is, it's all a concept of reality. The way the God created the world, he has to work with every means that is at his disposal. So Voshi Yisrael Miyadam does not take away from the Hashgacha. On the contrary, Voshi Yisrael Miyadam is to remove the idea of the Hashgacha from a fantasy idea to a reality idea. The person stands back and does nothing is out of reality. That's not Hashgacha. He doesn't relate to Hashgacha. It's impossible. The man of Hashgacha is the man of total reality. The Midu Melech Men HaKohanim wants to show you, see, the extent of the Geula is not just that they were saved, but that they restored the glory back to Klal Yisrael. And without a Melech, there's no glory. See, Vasom Tosim Alecha Melech is Allah. That's why Melech has special Eimah. He's Yotzei Lefneyam, he's Bo Lefneyam. He gives the prestige to the nation. So the extent of the Nes was, not just they were saved, but they established a Melech. It brought back the whole cover to Klal Yisrael. And then the Rambam says that this cover lasted. The extent of how long the cover lasted. It lasted for 200 years. Till Korban Bayis Sheni. Yeah, that's part also. So when that's what it says, V'chos Ram Malchus to Yisrael, not because the Rambam wants to tell you history. How long the Jews had a period of tranquility, of peace. But what the Rambam wants to tell you was, the extent of the glory, this glory which they established, which they brought back, this kavod Yisrael, the prestige that they brought back to the nation, it was a prestige that lasted for 200 years. It's the extent of the nes, the extent of the prestige that this event resulted in. Not because he wants to tell you history, how long it lasted 400 years. Why does Ram mention Minakana? That's the only thing that bothers me. The Midu Melch Minakana. You say it was a chait, and Ban says, was a chait. It would seem the Rambam was justifying what they did. It would seem that he's justifying. Why? Because he says, V'gavru b'nei chashmonoi ha-kohanim ha-gedolim. Why does he mention, who cares who will go? V'gavru Yisrael aleihem. What do I care? Was b'nei chashmonoi ha-kohanim ha-gedolim? Because the answer is because the Kohen Gadol was always a very important person in Klal Yisrael. Kohen Gadol and the Melech. Right? So, especially to the other nations, Kohen Gadol was very important, very prestigious position. So what he wants to show was that also was part of the Nace. It wasn't just a band of Jews got together and won. It's a guerrilla warfare. It was the Kohen Gadol who represented the nation that was in charge of the battle and that was directing the battle. So that was a different, that shows another dimension to the nature of the Nace. So it's important that you have to mention B'nei Chashmonoi Kohen Gadol is important, not just an accidental feature. Because who would... It makes a difference. Who are the ones that succeeded? You can have criminals escape also and can save the nation. But that doesn't bring back the prestige of the nation. It was B'nai Hashmonai Kohen Gadol, the ones that are at the center of the nation. It shows that that the whole system of the nation was responsible for bringing back. It justifies the system. It shows the system of the nation was responsible for being successful and for being victorious. And that's why they were mamed a melech from the Kohanim Agdolim at that time. Because since the Kohanim were the ones that functioned to bring back the prestige to Klal Yisrael, so they set the Kohen up as a Melech in order to demonstrate. See, what? It was a situation where that was the best thing to do at the time to demonstrate the prestige of the nation. That's why they did it. Since they were the ones that were victorious. Talking about the way they were break down the Rambam. The Rambam split up between the Rambam and Halacha Aleph. So the Rambam breaks it up to two parts. One part where he describes the enemy. Where he describes the enemy, and he gives a description of the of everything that took place against the intent of the enemy. He gives a picture of the enemy, the destructive force. Then he has the way the Jews received that the enemy, reception. How was received by the Jews? The gavra of the enemy, and how the Jews were an object of his tyranny and aggression. Okay, now the important idea I think we mentioned last time was that I think it's a universal, really, that wherever this shevach v'adar, it's not shevach v'adar because of the total picture. It's not shevach v'adar because of the because of the fact that God ensures the survival of Klal Yisrael. That's not shevach v'adar. That's not why shevach v'adar. But the shevach v'adar is because of the fact that God relates to man personally, helps man when he reaches a certain level. Okay? Otherwise it's not Shevach Vador. Shevach Vador, the Shevach Vador of Hanukkah is a different kind of Shevach Vador. It's not a Shevach Vador that God ensures the generations that Torah should survive. That's not the Shevach Vador. The Shevach Vador, the way the Rambam has it, is because God saved them, he was merachem on them, and he saved them. What does it mean he was merachem on them? What is merachem on them means that he related to them themselves because of their situation, and he saved them personally from their tzar. So the Sherech Vaidoy is that God relates to man and saves man personally, on a personal level. It's not because of the fact that he's the master of the universe, and therefore he wants to ensure the survival of Torah, and it's a whole, it's God's hashgacha that the Torah should survive. That's not the Sherech Vaidoy. That there is such a Sherech Vaidoy. But we explain that Sherech Vaidoy is a general Sherech Vaidoy. It's not the Sherech Vaidoy of Hallel. That's Baruch Shem Vayola. That's Baruch Shem Vayola, and that's Avah Rabbah Tana. That's the Hashgacha that God makes sure that in every generation there are those that study the Torah, survival of the Torah. But that's not the Sherech Vaidoy of Hanukkah. The Sherech Vaidoy of Hanukkah is the fact that God was merachem on these people and saved them from their own tragedy, from their own personal tragedy. That's what's Machayev in the Sherech Vaidoy. Okay, that's a Sherech Vaidoy. Otherwise, it's just an abstract Sherech Vaidoy. It's a general abstract Sherech Vaidoy that God is always his Hashgacha is involved in the universe, and it's involved in history of the Jews, involved in the history of the world. That's a separate Sherech Vaidoy. That's not the Sherech Vaidoy of Hanukkah. Sherech Vaidoy of Hanukkah is that God saved these people. Now, then we distinguish between two levels of people. One level is when a person is on a like a Navi, he's on a very high level, and therefore he's directly under the Hashgacha. And God relates to him even in his mundane things, like the Rambam said. And even in his everyday life, God relates to him. He saves him from aggravation. He saves him, like the Gemara says, by Yesh Vatzadik, that they were carrying down the host of Shivalot. So I'll say that's right. But this time carrying nice, yeah, right. Of course, he shouldn't have the onus of having the bad odor. Well, universe is involved in history of the Jews. Involved in the history of the world, that's a separate Sherech Vaidoy. That's not the Sherech Vaidoy of Hanukkah. Sherech Vaidoy of Hanukkah is that God saved these people. Now, then we distinguish between two levels of people. One level is when a person is on a like a Navi, he's on a very high level, and therefore he's directly under the Hashgacha. And God relates to him even in his mundane things, like the Rambam says. And even in his everyday life, God relates to him, he saves him from aggravation, he saves him, like the Gemara says, by Yesh Vatzadik, that they were carrying down the host of Shivalot. So I'll say that's right. But this time carrying nice, yeah, right. Of course, he shouldn't have the onus of having the bad odor while he was traveling down the path. See, that's another level where Klal Yisrael also has Hashgacha. Klal Yisrael is on the level because of the fact that they are capable of functioning as a vehicle of Torah. It's also a level. So the fact that they're capable of functioning as a vehicle of Torah means they're on a certain level, and therefore they're deserving of God's Rahmanis. God's Rahmanis means, when we use the term God's Rahmanis, what we mean is that God helps them out from their own personal, he relates to them and saves them from their own personal tragedy. That's really the Sherech Vaidoy. That's the Sherech Vaidoy of Hanukkah. It's not a Sherech Vaidoy that God in abstract makes sure that the future generations will have Torah. Very nice Sherech Vaidoy. But that's not the Sherech Vaidoy of Hanukkah. It's general Sherech Vaidoy. That's like Baruch Shem Vayol. It's different Sherech Vaidoy. The Sherech Vaidoy of Hanukkah is that he saved these people. That man, the Sherech Vaidoy is when the realization that God intervenes on behalf of people for their own sake when they're on a certain level. That's what it is. What? They're on the level. Due to the fact that they're on the level. By Pesach, that lo rakas of Osenu galah shem Mitzrayim, ala af asanu galah iman. So you see that the chayav adam liras, etzatzmo kilu hu yatsim Mitzrayim. See?
Ilahu Yatsum Mitzrayim means that the part of the Sefer is Mitzrayim, part of the Agada, not just Shevach, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu established the Ummah in general, that it's the divine will. The fact that it's a divine will that the Am Yisrael should exist is very nice. And of course, it's a tremendous Shevach, but that's not the Shevach of the Shevach Adah. And then the Hallel of the Nisan. How has to be that they were on that level and he relates to people. God relates to man when he's on a level of a vehicle. He relates to man in a certain way. And he relates to him because he's a vehicle, he's deserving of a certain amount of Ashgaha. Personal Ashgaha. Save him personal. If it's not personal, then it's not that's not the Shevach Adah. It's not the Shevach Adah of Hanukkah. Okay. Now, towards the Jew, every hatred towards the Jew is a personal one, and every hatred of the Jew is an ideological one. That's what we say. Right? Every hatred. 2 points, basically, just to review. 2 points, basically, that we established. 1 point is the Shevach Vaidor is a personal Shevach Vaidor. That's the fact that God relates to people as a vehicle and he saves them from their personal tragedy because they're on that level. And of course, a Navi is a different thing. It's two levels. It's two levels that a person can be at. One is because he inherently deserves the Ashgacha, and God relates to him personally. And the other one is because he functions as a vehicle. That's the Ummah Yisraelis. They function, the Ummah Yisraelis function as a vehicle of God's Torah. So then he relates to them personally. The second point we mentioned was that every hatred of the Goy is a personal hatred. And every hatred of the Jew is an ideological one. Okay? It has to be that way. Because the hatred of the Goy towards the Jew, since Yadus, the ideas of Yadus is the Kol Derech of Mishpat, the ideas of Yadus are the true absolute ideas. So the hatred of the Goy must of necessity be a personal one. Must be a personal one. See? It's an expression that comes from the physical part of man. The Rambam said that all evil comes from the physical part of man. An expression comes from the physical part of man. It's a primitive expression of aggression. And every hatred of the Jew is only ideological. The Jew has no personal hatred. But since the Jew has the ideal Jew. Yeah. Because the Gemara says that there are Jews that have personal hatred also. The Gemara says that an Amoritz hates when they see Tom Chacham learn. So that's, and the Gemara says that sin is worse than the sin of a guy. So a Jew can partake of a personal hatred also, personal level. But the Jew only has ideological hatred. Hatred is only ideological. No personal, is not involved in any personal hatred. Mechias Amalek. Mechias Amalek is only ideological. Even Bein Adam Machavero, all the hatreds of the Jew, Mitzvah Lasono, and it means you're not allowed to have any personal hatred, only ideological. But the Rambam says in the Gimli Karam, somebody who's a kofar, there's mitzvah la'abdo l'sona. So his ideological hatred is the only kind of hatred that Yadis endorses, and it's very important. It's very important. I mean, it's very unpopular because of Christianity. They dislike the term hatred, but it actually logically it's impossible, it's an impossibility. If somebody loves the good, he must hate that which destroys the good. And if he doesn't hate that which destroys the good, he can't love the good. It's an impossibility, logical impossibility. It's only about the hatred for money. What does it mean? Well, what is the hatred? The hatred stems from the fact that the person realizes how this thing corrupts a person's, how the taivas, the chemdas hamamon, corrupts a person's life, distorts it, and it ruins his attachment, his chances of attaining the good. So there's a hatred for such a thing. The person's on a level, he hates that type of the sham, the fact that it's something which destroys, that it's fake. That's an element which is destructive in man. He has to naturally hate such a thing. Sonei Botzah, the Pasuk in the Torah. Yeah.
Oh,
The Rambam says that when the Jews overpower their enemies and destroy them, Why isn't it a continuation of what happened before? Why do you have to make a separate halacha for this? It's all one. Right? Okay. It's all one thing. It's all part of the story. Gimel, I understand, is different because Gimel is Mibneze Eskinu Chacham Shabosu Ador. So there the Rambam gets involved with the Takana already. But over here, it's just really the second, an extension of the story. So the Super Amaisa should be in one halacha. Super Amaisa, that the Rambam said already, Hamidu Melech Menachahanim, and it was, and that's it. And then we want it to place. Why is it separate halacha? That's the problem. Why is it separate halacha?
Not the essential part of the name.
Why is Rambam put up in the bill? Why did the Rambam tell the story over here? Rambam is not a history book. Why does Rambam tell the story? So we said last time, last year we mentioned the fact that the Sipur HaMaisa is a kiyum in Pirsum Inisim. It's not just enough to be Mephi. The whole thing is Laharas Lufasim Anais. You have to know the Nasis. So Limud, knowing what the Nase is, the Kiyum in Pirsum Inisim. But there's something else in the Rambam. I think that there's something else in the Rambam. What the Rambam is doing here really, is the Rambam is in these three halachas, is formulating what you need. You see, the problem was, well, how do you establish a day as a Yom Kippur? A separate day. How do you do it? So really, these halachas, the Rambam is formulating precisely what are the ingredients that are necessary in order to establish a Yom Tov. Now, in the first halacha, what the Rambam is establishing is the nature of the events that have to take place in order to establish the Yom Tov. So the events have to be one in which the guy is out to destroy the Jew, and the Rambam gives the description of the, and then the Jew is saved. If you're sure, so that's really halacha. That's the prerequisite. That's the situation that's necessary in order to establish a Yom Tov. Shalom asked a good question. He said that you see that there's a difference here really between Purim and between Hanukkah in terms of the anti-Semitism. Because in Purim it was really they want to destroy the Jew per se. They didn't care about whether they're getting the Jew. They didn't want to convert the Jew. But in Hanukkah they wanted to convert the Jew. It was really against the it was indiscriminately. Didn't matter whether they would, they didn't give them any choice. But I would say that from the Rambam, Rambam doesn't seem to differentiate. Rambam doesn't differentiate. It's true there are two forms, but it's not two different, we don't look at it as two different types of sinah. Basically, it's the same thing. Just a question of the extent. Just a question of the extent or the form that it takes. But basically, it is always the same thing. It is really the personal sin of the Jew because of the Jew's religion. That's what it is. So the Rambam and Halacha Aleph established what is necessary in order to have a situation that warrants the establishment of a Yom Tov. That's Halacha Aleph. Now, the reason why he split off Halacha Beis is because Halacha Beis also has to do with formulating what are the ingredients that are necessary for the for the establishment of Yom Tov. What's in Halacha Beis that's not Halacha? What's special about Halacha Beis that's not Halacha Aleph? What's special about Halacha Beis is that there's a Yom HaMa'orah. There's a Yom HaMa'orah. In order to establish a Yom Tov, you require a Yom HaMa'orah. Halacha Beis is all about Yom HaMa'orah. That's why it says like this. So the halacha beis is one thing in the Rambam halacha beis, the yom ha-ma'orah. There must be ma'orah is the event. There must be a yom ha-ma'orah, which means to say that if there was no yom ha-ma'orah, if for instance there was a long situation. Where they took months and years, and there was really no specific time that you could relate the victory to, then you can't establish a Yom Tov. In order to establish Yom Tov, there has to be a Yom HaMa'orah. That's Halacha Beis. That's Halacha Beis. I'm not saying that what we said last time is wrong. That we mentioned that it's important to know the elements of the nes. That's a key in Pesumim Yisrael. I think that's true also. That's true also. Both ideas are true. Because you see from the Rambam before, there are many things over there which the Rambam didn't have to say. It was just in order to establish what's necessary for a Yom Tov. Both ideas are true. But the Rambam is really essentially a sefer of halacha, and the Rambam breaks it up in that way, because the Rambam is breaking it up into the elements that are necessary in order to establish a Yom Tov. In order to establish a Yom Tov, there has to be a Yom HaMa'orah. And what type of a Yom HaMa'orah was there over here? The victory was Chafei Kislev, that was the Yom HaMa'orah. And then there was something else. There was another Ma'orah. There was a Ma'orah of the Pach Shemen. There was a Ma'orah of the Pach Shemen. Okay? Yeah. Must have a Yom HaMa'orah. Must have a Yom HaMa'orah. Now, Finest. So the Rambam has. He lists all the different days. Shivasa Batamas, this occurred and that occurred. And in the Tisha B'Av, this occurred. There has to be a Ma'orah. Must be related to a Ma'orah. Without a Ma'orah, you can't just take a day and say this is the day. Okay? You can't just take a day. It has to be a day of the Ma'orah. And then, a different time. It was splintered up. There wasn't any day that they came in. They were really victorious. But after a while, it emerged that there was a victory. That wouldn't be any good. Has to be Yom HaMa'orah. Okay. Why? What really was the Nes Hashem? What's the importance of the Nes Hashem? So they have a little Hashem in there and it burned longer. So what? What is the... What is the importance of the Nes Hashem? What's the importance? What if they wouldn't? What if they wouldn't have been able to light? Is it lighter a little later? So what? The whole thing, Migdash really, what is the idea of Migdash? You see, Migdash is V'asuli Migdash V'shachanti B'socha. The Gemara says that there were certain miraculous things that took place in the Migdash to demonstrate the Ashgacha. The Rambam has a big discussion about this in the beginning of the Maran Avoch. And he goes into the question of what there was, what exactly went on in the Migdash. And I think the Rambam quotes Unkelus, that there was something there, a light or something whatever it was, some type of a thing that existed there. The Gilui Shechina of the Migdash. The Rambam mentions, the Rambam has a whole philosophical discussion about it. But he says that even with all the philosophy, he says, there is nothing wrong with assuming that there was actually some event, some miraculous thing that existed there as a demonstration of the fact that God Hashgacha, relates to Klal Yisrael via the Migdash. So really, the story was like this: that one day when they won the Mokama, that was an ace of the Ashgacha. And you see, the Rambam mentions before that the Nichnasu Lahechol, the Goyim came to Lahechol, the Greeks who Pratzba Pratzas, the Timu Ataharas, who Because the breakdown in physical and the physical and the halachic breakdown of the Migdash, she represents the breakdown of Klal Yisrael. That represents the breakdown of Klal Yisrael. And the establishment of Migdash represents the establishment of Klal Yisrael and represents the revelation of the Gilui Shechina to the Klal Yisrael and the whole world. That's why the Gemara says that Pasuk, the Atum, how the windows in the Migdash work. They were usually windows go like this, so the light should spread. And then the Migdash went like that. So to symbolize that the light of the Migdash goes out to the entire world. It doesn't need the light of the day. We need its light. So it's based on the Pasuk. The Chalonas that we need, the Shlomo Malach Meir. Migdash represents Hashgacha. Represents the Hashgacha. And it's true that in Bayis Sheni, those Nisim didn't occur. But when they entered the Bayis, and the Neis HaShemen took place, that Neis HaShemen represented Ashras Shechina. That's what the Neis HaShemen represented. But it was an ace, and it wasn't the Migdash, and it wasn't the Mitzvah of Adlakas HaNeros, one of the Mitzvahs of the Migdash. So really the Neis represented Ashras Shechina. That's why the Neis represented a return, a reestablishment of the Migdash. Al Yedei Ashras Shechina. Vasuli Migdash v'shachanti b'sochan. The Neis represented Ashras Shechina. And that's why the Neis HaShemen was so important that it became incorporated in the Yemei HaChanukah. Meant the whole return of the return of the establishment of the whole system of Yadus. That's based on Migdash. That's the Migdash. And there was Ashras Shechina in the Migdash for 8 days. That's all one thing. That's the Ma'orah. The Ma'orah is an interesting Ma'orah. The Ma'orah is, it's a double Ma'orah. First of all, the day of the victory, and then there's Ashras Shechina. Then the element of Ashras Shechina. Ma'orah? All right, so we'll take a look at Halacha Gimel. You'll see. What is the Yom HaMa'orah really? The Yom HaMa'orah remains Chafet. That's the Yom HaMa'orah. The Neis of the Shemen is not a Yom. It does not have anything to do with the Yom HaMa'orah. Okay? All right. Let's take a look. See? Halacha Gimel. U'mipnei eskinu chachomim sheba'osa ador. Sheyi. Why is Neis HaShemen not the... Because that's not the Ma'orah. The Ma'orah is the victory. That's the Ma'orah. Neis HaShemen is very nice, but it's not the Ma'orah. The Ma'orah is chafet. He says, u'mipnei eskinu chachomim sheba'osa ador. Sheyiyu shmonas yomim ho'elu shetchilosan chafei bekislev yimei simcha v'halal. All right, so you see what he says? Shetchilosan chafei bekislev. What day is kaveya? Chafei kislev. Why is chafei kislev kaveya? It's the Yom HaMa'orah. It's the Yom HaMa'orah. The shmonas yomim is merely an extension of the Yom HaMa'orah. The Neis HaShemen was incorporated into the Yom Tov, via an extension process. In other words, the Yom HaMa'orah really is Chafei, and the Neis HaShemen was incorporated by extending the Kviyas of Chafei over 8 days. But the Koveya and the Yom HaMa'orah remains Chafei. That's what the Rambam has to be there. See the way that's what it is. Rambam goes out of his way to make this point, because he says Shmonas Yom Meloshet Chilason Chafei Bekist. Rambam said, we had another raya halachically for this with Rosh Chodesh and we spoke what? That's right. Right. That's required of the Ram too. That's another. We did it on the. That's in the last tapes on the Hanukkah. We're not going to go into that. All right. Kavua for Hanukkah. Right. Came out that way. Not essentially kavua for Hanukkah. It just happened. It came out halachically that Rosh Chodesh is not really Kavua, it's the day of Hanukkah. It just happens to fall into the 8 days. It's accidental. All right, that's a sugya in the end of the area of Hanukkah and Shabbos. Okay. Hanukkah, Al Nisim in Musaf of Shabbos. Wasn't first to do Shabbos? Shabbos. Question was whether you mask your Hanukkah in Musaf of Shabbos. It was. The Gemara is a two-sided question. So we said, what's the question? One second. But what do we say? The question was, what are the two sides of the abaya, whether I should maskir or not. So we said like this, we said, the halacha is, the question is, when I'm maskir Rosh Chodesh, is it because of the day? Is it because of the day? In other words, this day is machayev in mentioning Al Nisan. You see? If it's because of the day, the Gemara's Chakir was a Yamaskir, Rosh Chodesh, and Musaf of Shabbos. So there's two sides. We explain the two sides. If you say it's because of the day, that this day is Machayev in being Maskir, Hanukkah. So this day is Machayev. This day is Machayev, because it happens to be Shabbos and it happens to be Hanukkah. But if you say it's the date, that's the Machayev. So the date is Chafei. Let's say Chafei comes out in Shabbos. So you're not Maskir. Because what's the Machayev in being Maskir? Chafei. And Shabbos has nothing to do with Chafei. It's totally accidental that Shabbos happened to fall on Chafei. But if you say you go by the day, so then the day is Machayev in being Maskir. So that's the Gemara's Chakira. Is it the day or is it the date? That's the Gemara's Chakira. So the question we raised was, what about Rosh Chodesh? Rosh Chodesh, that comes out on Hanukkah. So over there's the date. And the Gemara has it. It's the same Chakira on Rosh Chodesh. So we said, because it's not the date of Aleph Betevis. That's Machayev in, not the date of Aleph Betevis, that's Machayev in being Moscow and Israel. Nothing to do with Aleph Betevis. The date that's Machayev is Chafei Kislev is Machayev. But it's extended 8 days from Chafei Kislev. This will happen, the Shredish happens to be there. That's why the Gemara is the same Hakir as the God of Shredish. And from this Ram, you see, that's the way it is. It's true halachically, and it's true philosophically. Because that's the way, it's true in terms of how you have to establish the Maora. Because the Neis HaShemen wasn't really something, wasn't the Yom HaMaora. The Maora was the victory. The Maora was the victory. Right? That's why you don't mention in the Tefillah of anything. Now on Nisim and Tefillah, you don't mention anything about Neis HaShemen. Not a word is mentioned about Neis HaShemen. What?
The Rambam
doesn't either. Why? Because the Rambam mentions 8 days. But Alan Nisim, you don't mention about the, it doesn't say that Liku Neiros Bachachos Bachacha Shimona Yomim Aladei Neis. Doesn't say anything about that. Just says, that's it. Normal procedure. Because the whole Neis is the Ma'orah is the victory. The Ma'orah is the victory. The only thing is that because the Ashgacha demonstrated the return of the Shechinah to the Migdash, so they extended the Kviyas of the Yom HaMa'orah over the seven succeeding days. That's the way it is. All right. Now, what is halal? We understand. How we understand? What is simcha? What does simcha mean? There is no halacha, and the only achrayna mentioned is no halacha of simcha on halal. There's no suddas mitzvah. Eating latkes is not a mitzvah. All these things are not a mitzvah. I mean, what? Well, dreidel doesn't even come into the picture. I mean, you have to have a suda for something. You have to have a suda, but there's no mitzvah suda. There's no mitzvah suda on Hanukkah. So, what is the Rambam talking about when he says it's yimei simcha? What kind of simcha is it? There's no simcha. What? The simcha over here. There is no simcha. In the positive. It's a Yom Simcha, because the Rambam says later, he says, Vehain, the Yom Melo on the Kram of Hanukkah, Vehain Asurim Behesped the Tainus Kimei Apura. So there's two halachas of Simcha. There's a Simcha in the positive, where the expression of the Yom HaSimcha is in the positive. And then there's a halacha of Simcha, that the day is Usur in Tainus and Hesped. And Tainus and Hesped, the Isser Tainus Vehesped stems from the Halacha of Simcha. So really, the Halacha of Simcha over here is in the negative. It's in the negative. I was thinking of another possibility. Yom Simcha. That you should Chiyav Suda. Chiyav Suda. What? Here it is. Mitzvah Yom Yudal of Nek Farm Vayoros Yom Tesvov of Nek Kraken. Riosom Yom Simcha O Mishka. ומשלוח מנוס לרעים ומתנס לביונים, ומותר בעשיית מלאכה, ואף על פי כן אין רואה לעשות במלאכה. אמר חכמים כל העושה מלאכה ביום פורים אין הרואה עושים ברכה לעולם. בני כפרים שקידמו בקור בשני, ראי לא בחמישי, אם חוקו מועס לביון ביום כסף יצר. אבל השמחה והמשתה, אין עושה נוסן אלא ביום ידלת. Right? You see that sperm shasobalizva. So what so you see the Rambam did have. So you see one thing. From the Rambam in Hilchas Megillah, because you could answer, it would be tempting to answer and to say that why didn't it make it simcha a chiyav sudah? Because you only have a chiyav sudah where you have a kedusha sayyam. We have a kedusha sayyam. And since there's no kedusha sayyam on the Hanukkah, so you could make a chiyav mesh. But you see from the Rambam in Hilchas Megillah, it's not so. Because in Hilchas Megillah, Purim has no Kiddush Sayyom, and yet Purim is a day, it is a Yom of Simcha Mishta. So the question is, why they didn't see fit to establish on Hanukkah also that it should be Yemei Simcha Mishta. Yemei Simcha Mishta. That's a good question. Let's just understand what the Rambam said. The Rambam says it's a Yom Simcha. The question was raised, what kind of Simcha is no Chiyav Suda? You take a look at the Rambam in Hilchas Yom Tov from Perek Vav. So the Rambam's like this. The Rambam, Yom Tov Perek Vav. So the Rambam says that, Shiva Shemeh Pesach Shemeh Shemeh Chagim Shoh Yom Tovim Kulam Asurim Basri Tainis V'chayav Adam Lios Ben Sameach V'tov Lei. Alright, who one of the Ishto? V'smach V'chagecha. And then it says, then he goes into the idea of Suda. Then he goes into the idea of Suda. Now, it's an interesting thing. But from the Rambam would appear that even Yom Kippur is a Chiyat Simcha. Because he says, V'chol amo adam kulam, chol amo adam kulam, chol amo adam kulam, right? V'msho yom etovim kulam, right? V'chayiv adam yisman sameach etov lei. So the implication around this, even Yom Kippur has a chiyuv of a simcha. The Yom Kippur, the simcha is expressed. See, the simcha is really a kiyum belayv, according to the Rambam. It's a kiyum belayv. Now, the kiyum belayv could be expressed either through achilu shtiyah, or else on Yom Kippur, it's expressed through the Fnei Hashem Tatorah. The simcha is expressed through the Fnei Hashem Tatorah. It's not expressed through achilu shtiyah, but it's expressed through the Fnei Hashem Tatorah. And therefore, you see, it's an interesting lashon that the Rambam has. The Rambam's lashon in Megillah, in Hanukkah, the Rambam's lashon is, what type of days are they? He says that the Yemei Simcha V'Hallel. You see? Simcha V'Hallel. In Purim, he says, Simcha Mishta. You see? Simcha Mishta. What the Rambam means is, when the Rambam says Simcha V'Hallel and Simcha Mishta, it's two different terms. He doesn't mean to say it's Yemei Simcha, and then also he should say the Karim Ben Hallel. What's Yemei Simcha the Hallel? What he means is it's one thing. It means that the Simcha is expressed through Hallel. That's what he means. That there's a Kiyum Simcha through Hallel. On Purim, the Kiyum Simcha takes place through Mishkan. On Hanukkah, the Kiyum Simcha takes place through Hallel. It's a different expression. So actually, you have how many expressions of simcha really? You have a chiyuv shtiyah. That's really yantif. Then you have lefnei, and you have also on Purim. Then you have Yom Kippur lefnei Hashem Tataru, and on Hanukkah there's a kiyum simcha through Hallel. Someone says that you don't say why don't you say in Rosh Hashanah? You don't say how? This kineisha einam yimei simcha yisera. He says, that's right. What does he mean? So what? So, but it means to say, because Hallel really, is it Hallel or the Kiyum Simcha? Is the Kiyum Simcha through Hallel? An interesting thing, is the Kiyum Simcha through Hallel? Now the question is the Kiyum Simcha through Hallel? If that's the case, then we can say there's a positive expression. Positive. The expression is through Hallel. The expression is not through Suda, it's through Hallel. One second. Now, the question is like this, though. Why? This Mendy's question wouldn't answer it. The question still is, why is it that on Purim, the expression of the simcha is through Mishta, and on Hanukkah it's through Hallel. The simcha shel mitzvah. Simcha shel mitzvah means that the suda is a means. It's only a means. The suda is not a key. We spoke about that one time. But you know what that was? The whole thing, if you don't have the Ramzes, you don't have Aliyah, but you don't have one. You need that if the act of Se'uda is a means for a Simcha Shal Mitzvah, then it has to be a Simcha. Otherwise, it's a Simcha Shal Mitzvah. I'll tell you about it. I think that our division, our previous division is wrong. We said that there's a Simcha to Se'uda, and we included Purim and Yom Tov on the one heading. Not true. Because you see, on Purim, it's Mishnah, not Suda. Mishnah means Shia. That's why the Chiv of Shia is Yayin. It's a different kind of expression. Different kind of expression. The mitzvah, according to the Rambam, gets drunk. You see, it's Mishnah, really. Mishnah means that it's Kavua around the Shia, around the Shia of Yayin. On Yom Tov, there's an issue to get drunk. Yom Tov being issue to get drunk. Because he's being involved from the Grusha Yom. He's supposed to have Yayin, they should be Sameach, but not drunk. But on Purim, it's a different theme of Simcha through Mishnah. That is only on Purim. Su'udah is only possible with its Kedusha Sayyom. The Halacha of Su'udah is only possible with its Kedusha Sayyom because Su'udah is a key in the Kedusha Sayyom. Su'udah Shabbat is a key in the Yom HaShabbat. And Su'udah Yom Tov is a key in the Kedusha Sayyom of Yom Tov. Without Kedusha Sayyom, really, you cannot have any Su'udah. No Halacha of Su'udah. You asked me the kasha, we asked about Purim. The answer is Purim is not Suda. Purim is Mishnah. Separate halacha, that Purim is Mishnah. Different expression through Mishnah. Through having a meal with his drinking and his eating, it's a feast. It's a different kind of a thing. It's not a kin Suda. For the halacha Suda, you have to have a Suda Balayla also. You see the beast like every other time. Even though, you understand? The halacha of Purim is not Suda. It's Mishnah. Now why they established? Why they established Mishnah on Purim and they didn't have Mishnah on Hanukkah? I think that has to do with other reasons for that. We have to get involved in the whole idea of why I think it has to do with King Mashkin Bivar and the whole idea of the receive of the Shikr was a special, different thing in Purim, that they were Kavei of Mishnah. I don't know if we know exactly, more precisely what it is. But on Hanukkah, they couldn't be Kavei of Mishnah. And Mishnah had nothing to do with Hanukkah. So therefore, the Simcha was expressed only through one way, through Allah. It came through Allah. Okay? Beyond that, I wouldn't like to go. But beyond that, you're treading on territory where you have no facts. You know what I mean? This we know. Why, I mean, all I can say is that it definitely is indigenous to Purim, the idea of Mishnah. And the idea of Mishnah has nothing to do with Hanukkah. So I think it's not very big. Rosh Bo'erev al-Pitzchei Abatim b'chol layla v'layla Mishmona chalelos laharos v'legalos hanei. All right. Madlikin ben Anera. Ram says, Madlikin Bohen Anera. Bo Erev. Al Pisfe Abatim. Bechol Laila Valaila. So, what does the Rambam show you from Russian on Madlikin ben Anera? Madlikin ben Anera really shows you one thing. It's that the mitzvah of Adlakas Anera is not just the chiyuv of Adlakas. It's part of the Kriyas Hayom. Establishment of the Kriyas Hayom is through Anera. Once I'm at a rest, I don't remember from my time. I'm lighting candles. The candles are seen in the yard. I'm walking. He said one last thing over there, because the Gemara says that if you forget, you admire it. On Rosh Chodesh, you forget to say Yalav Yalav, so you don't have to go back. Why? Because in the consciousness of Chodesh, Balayla. The question is, what does it got to do with in the consciousness of Chodesh, Balayla? It's Bezna, Falachan Bezna. But now we don't go by that anyway. We go by the calendar. Wasn't he named the Kashan Kristalaz, you don't know? So the Rav said that the Kriyas HaChodesh takes place now through the through Asiya. The Yom Tovim and the Rosh takes place through the Asiya. So by saying Yalav Yavo is a key in establishing the Kodesh. That's when you say the Yalav Yavo. That's really key in establishing. Since they're in the Kachin, so Kodesh Balayla, that's why you don't have to go back. Interesting idea. Mishmona Sayyamim, B'chol Alav Yavo, Mishmona Sayyamim, he says, Laharos Ulegalos Hanes. Double Lashon there. Double lashon. Why didn't you just say legalas hanes? What's laharos legalas hanes? Haros hanes. What's laharos legalas hanes? Two things around that. What is laharos legalas hanes? And what is laharos? Chayav adam laharos is atma. You knew what yes meant, right? So what does it mean? Behold of the chayav adam. Well, the Rams give it. Chol the Rechayev Adam Lirat Tatma. Chol the Rechayev Adam Laharas Tatma. Right? So Laharas means to demonstrate. Laharas means to demonstrate. Means to demonstrate. And the Gallows. Would you say that there's halach of the galas and ace by Pesach? No, definitely not. No halach of pesim and ace by galas. No halach at all. The gadol of the nefesh is not pesim and ace. It's not pesim and ace. Yeah, that's right. It's rumor. So really, laharos, and over there is the source for laharos. That's where we have laharos. So Laharos Hanes really is the means. What is, how do you define Laharos Hanes? So let's answer the question. What is it? Laharos Hanes? Laharos. Means Laharos is Allah in the gap. Laharos means Laharos Allah in the gap. That what you're demonstrating by Laharos is that the Gavra was, that the Gavra is a part of the nation. In other words, that the Gavra is involved in the nation. That's Laharos. It demonstrates that the nation is related to him. In other words, the there's two things in other words. You see, one is the objective when I communicate an idea to somebody. So one is the objective of the communication. The objective of the communication. How far, what the purpose is to make sure that that other people can know about. That simply, in that sense, the person is only a need, is only a vehicle for the end product of making sure that the communication is known to others. Okay? That's the governance. Laharos is really different. Laharos means that when a person laharos hanes means that not simply that the person is a vehicle of the objective, but it's a demonstration on the part of the gavra that the gavra was affected by them. The reason it's a sheer in the sheer in demonstration of how the person himself was affected by them. Megalos means that your objective is to publicize. Publicize it. The event, publicize it. Megalos, you're only interested in that. The Maharos, you're interested in demonstrating the effect of the event on you. That's Lahara. You're right. That's Lahara, leaning all these things is the extent of the demonstration of how it relates to you. It's a demonstration of how it relates to you. So in Laharos, it's a demonstration on the part of the Gavra. In the Galos, it's just the objective. On Hanukkah, it's both. Laharos, by the fact that, no, it's Hanukkah's two things. One is the effect on the Gavra of the Nace, And the other one is just the Eklahara. The other one is that he wants to communicate the idea, wants to publicize the idea. Publicize the idea, the fact that he does it, it doesn't mean it. Doesn't relate to the government. On Hanukkah, there's two kiyumim. When I'm madlik the ner, first of all, I'm demonstrating how involved I am in the ner, that the ner affected me, that the nes affected me, that I'm involved. I'm demonstrating how it affected me as a gavra. And secondly, the ner is a vehicle of publicizing. The ner is a vehicle of publicizing. So the ner really has a double function, a double kiyum. It's both the kiyum of shalom. In other words, to show how I am affected that I like the light in there means that I'm demonstrating the effect of the nature upon myself. The demonstration, on the demonstration means the governor's involved. The involvement of the governance. In publicizing, there's no the involvement of the governor doesn't matter. It's just the objective that it's publicized. See? So on Hanukkah, there's two views. The theme of in Hadlokas and Eretz is one is the involvement of the governor, and secondly, these days are called Khanim. Okay? The Hain Asurim best of the Tainus Kineapura. What does that mean of it? Just accidental. I mean, coral like that. You can't have a Kriya Sayom, apparently, without a Chalashem. That the thing is that actually, in Midaraisim and Atari, you only have a Kedusha Sayom. You only have a Kedusha Sayom. Kedusha Sayom means that the day really is a different day. It's essentially differentiated. The day is essentially differentiated. Now, without Kedusha Sayom, there is no essential differentiation anymore between that day and any other day. Right? Yeah. So the problem is really, how could you establish a day of Hanukkah or a day of Purim? I mean, a day of Hanukkah and a day of Purim can't be established because you can't establish a Kedushas Hayom. So the day really is not differentiated. The day is not really differentiated, so therefore you can't establish a Hanukkah or a Purim, right? Yeah. So what's the answer? So the answer is that you can't establish a Hanukkah because you have no Kedusha Yom. There's nothing that differentiates the day from any other day. So therefore, there's only one way to do it. And that was by establishing a Shem. The Shem differentiates the day from other days. And once you have a Shem, once you establish the Shem for these days, then you can have the halach of establishing the Yom Simcha Lahalal, and all the Madrigan Ben Aneros, and all the mitzvahs. But if you wouldn't have the Chalesh Shem, you couldn't possibly say that Yom Chafei Tzrichim L'chayav M'Havlik Esaneros. What's Yom Chafei? There's no Yom Chafei. It's regular day on the calendar. There's no difference. And inherently from the substance, there's no difference. So where is your day? Where's your day? So the answer is, there's the only way that you could differentiate the day of Hanukkah or the day of Purim from other days is by the Chal Shem of the Yom. So that's why they had to establish a Chal Shem of Purim and a Chal Shem of Hanukkah. Once you establish a Chal Shem in the Yom, then you can have mitzvah of Yom. But there can't be any mitzvah of Yom. Yom Chafez, regular day on the calendar. There's no difference. And inherently from the substance, there's no difference. So where is your day? Where's your day? So the answer is, there's the only way that you could differentiate the day of Hanukkah or the day of Purim from other days is by the Chal Hashem of Imam. So that's why they had to establish a Chal Hashem of Purim and a Chal Hashem of Purim. Once you establish a Chal Hashem in the Yom, then you can have mitzvahs of Yom. But there can't be any mitzvahs of Yom unless you have a Chal Hashem in the Yom. So there's two types of conduct, there's two types of differentiation between days of where you have mitzvahs and days that you don't have mitzvahs. One type of differentiation is the other type of differentiation is the Chal Hashem of the Yom. Chal Hashem of the Yom is what differentiates the day from other days. Yeah. Mention this. Why doesn't the Rambam mention it before? Question is, why did the Rambam mention it before? So, why did the Rambam mention it before? So, we're saying you can't have a mitzvah Hanukkah, so how can you have a mitzvah? So, make it up with that. You could say that the Yom Chafei is higher than Mahavik is on Eretz, and also that it's a day of Simcha V'Hallel. You don't need a Shem for that. What? Day, right? Where should he have written it? It's really one thing. I don't know if it's a big problem why the Rambam wrote it, because really it's not completely out of place. He tells you what they were misakin. May Simcha V'Hallel, we're gonna hear. The Yom Neilu Hain and Ekraim Hanukkah. I don't think where the Rambam wrote is necessarily a problem. I think it could be very good that he wrote the Yom Neilu Hain and Ekraim Hanukkah. That the he's reflecting back on the whole halacha. In other words, now he's telling you that in order to have this, there had to be a Chal Hashem of Yom. That's good. Leave it. From other days. There's two ways to differentiate them. Either through Kedushas Hayom or else through a Chal Hashem of the Yom. I don't have any doubt about the Svara. The Svara is very good. You have to have the shame. Al Kain Koral Ayom Me'el Apurim Al Shem Apur means that in order to have the Purim, they had to establish as a name. How are you going to differentiate this day from other days? It must be a Shem. There's no Shem, it's nothing. You can't say Chafei Kislev. Chafei Kislev is just a day. It's a day, regular day. It must be a Chal Hashem. And that's why by Purim, by Hanukkah, they had to have a Chal Hashem. So Hanukkah really isn't just, the term Hanukkah is not just an arbitrary way of identifying when you light candles. The term Hanukkah is a real Chal Hashem. That you see from the Rambam. The Yom Neilu Hain and Ekraim Hanukkah is not just, he wasn't mentioning it for you, so you should know what to call it. He's not mentioning it, you should know for practical purposes. It has halachic value. And the halachic value is, that it's the day that you have a challah. Now you have an abstract Chal Hashem, so you're defining the day has a name. The day has a name, now it's differentiated. It's differentiated by the name. Once you have the differentiation, then there's a chiyuv, then there's Allah Allah. They call the Hanukkah. Why do I care why they call my Hanukkah? What's the importance of the term? So the Gemara is the reason why the Gemara Shabbos says my Hanukkah is because the term, which is a Chal Hashem, was constructed halachically. The Balei HaMasorah had to sit down. The Chachmei Ador had to sit down and had to be Kavei Hashem. So there wouldn't be Kavei, a crazy Shem. As the Shem has to be related to them. That makes sense. So the Gemara asked, my Hanukkah, what kind of a Shem is that? The Gemara answers, because Chanukah Hafei, it represents the Mahorah. But the reason why the Gemara delves into the problem of my Hanukkah is not because the Gemara just wants to show a nice, cute, little derivative, a derivation of name. The Gemara is trying to show you, the Gemara goes into it because Hanukkah is a halachic term. That's why the Gemara asks, my Hanukkah. It's good, it's perfect. Ma'orah. Now you see from the Pasuk in the Megillah, Kain Karli Yamrei Lepur Vashem Apur. Why does the Megillah tell you that? The answer is because you have to have a Chal Hashem Yom, it's a halacha. And the Chal Hashem of the Yom has to reflect the Ma'orah. And that's why the Gemara asks, my Hanukkah. It's excellent, it's perfect. You see, that's the way, the way it works out. Very nice. Yeah, what? I really. I have to give it. That you see from the Megillah. You have Kedush Siyom, you definitely have a shame of the Yom. But the thing is, If you have Kedushas HaYom, you definitely have a shame. Pesach and Atzeres, and you're definitely a shame. But the Chiddush over here, you have the opposite. You have a shame without a Kedushas HaYom. Okay, now. The Hain Asurim Behesped and Tainus Kimei HaPurim. These days are Asur and Hesped and Tainus, just like the days of Purim. Alright, so this Kimei HaPurim, the Ram didn't have to say. Why the Ram said, then he says further. Bad Lokas and Eres Ben Mitzvah Midivisokun Kipriyas HaMikilim. There you see the Ram went out of his way to add something. Didn't have to say it. He says, he said already Mitzvah Lokas and Eres. You see? Bad Lokas and Eres Ben Mitzvah Midivisokun Kipriyas HaMikilim. Really, there was a whole big problem when they were establishing Purim. The whole big problem was actually establishing a new mitzvah, a new Yom Tov, right? New mitzvah that we suffer. So at any rate, so they the whole thing, whole shock of the tire, how they really learned that from kindness, the whole thing, whatever. But now the Chachamim in this door, the door of the Hanukkah, they didn't want to establish a new Yom Tov. It was after the time of Nevuah. After this, there was no more Nevuah at that time. There was no Nevi'im, and they couldn't establish on their own a new Yom Tov. So therefore, the only thing they could do was to say that they're extending. It's the same thing exactly as Purim. It's an extension of Purim. So that's why the Rambam says. As a matter of fact, now it's really precise why he said the Yom Melo and Akroyan and Hanukkah, why it's over here. Why it is mentioned before. You see, he mentioned the Lakas and Neros too. But Lakas and Neros, behind Mitzvah Midivrei Sofrim, Kipriya Samigilah. In other words, they were not able to establish a new Yom. So what they had to do was simply to parallel and to extend the Takana of Purim. It's an extension of Purim, really. It's an extension of Purim. And therefore, the mitzvah, that's what the Rambam insists, Vadlokas and Eres is mitzvah, just like Kriyas and Megillah. That's an extension of Kriyas and Megillah. Because Kriyas and Megillah is Shevach Vaydon Pearson, and Vadlokas and Eres is Shevach Vaydon Pearson. And we explained why they couldn't have any Kriya, because it's not Kis V'Kodesh. So therefore, they had to do a Maisa. They had to create a Maisa, which is the mitzvah. But really, it's no more than an extension of the Yemei HaPurim. And that's why really now it fits in very well with the Rambam said the Yom Melech and Koran and Hanukkah over here, because here's where the last part of the Rambam was, where the Rambam's talking about the way they were Mesakin, the way they set up the whole Yom Tov, with the way they set up the whole Yom Tov. And that's why he says the Yom Melech and Koran and Hanukkah at this point. V'hein Asurim v'hespe v'tainis Yemei HaPurim v'adlokas and erzben mitzvah v'sof v'kriyas v'gavah. See? So this, where the Rambam over here is mentioning the way the Chacham, actually in the beginning of the Halacha, he tells you what they were Masakin. In the end of the Halacha, he tells you the right that they had to be Masakin and how they were Masakin. So it was Kriyas Shem, was, and the Yisr Hesper the Tainus, and the Mitzvah of Bucks and Eris is nothing more than an extension of the Mayor Farm. But they could not create a new Yom Tov with Rabbanim after Purim, because there was no more since it was after the Zman, where there was Ruach HaKodesh, where there were the theme that were, they didn't feel they were able to Masakin at that time. So it was an extension of Purim. Shade from other days. The name is just in the means, you have to differentiate from other days. So you have to have a name. But the essence, the name is not the same, because the name is just a means to differentiate from other days. But the essence of it is, the essence of the day, the nature of the day, is nothing more than an extension of form. That's a...
Yesterday, we did Mishnah Hegel. So, the point I believe was made, that Yantif is not the avail. And really, there's nothing on Yantif, I mean, that prohibits the person from keeping the violations of avail. The person doesn't have to wear shoes in Yantif in any way, that's what it is. And any other halacha, there's no chitzah, there's nothing, there's no problem between the
activity of which the mourner is prohibited from doing, and between the mitzvahs of Yom Tov, there's no real contradiction in that action. He simply doesn't have to do what the mourner is prohibited, and he's fine with the other. The only thing is, so why is Yom Tov really a contradiction to the laws of mourning? Why does it break the mourning? And the yeshiva is completely nullified once Yom Tov enters. The reason is because Yom Tov is defined as a Yom Simcha, a day of Simcha. And Avelus is more, mourning is more than just abstention from certain performances. Mourning is a type of day. Bacharisa ki yom ma. A bitter day. But a day has a certain definition. A definition of a day of mourning. You can't have a day of mourning simultaneously with a day of sukha. The day of sukha comes along and breaks the avil, breaks the mourning. Okay. Now there's a halacha with regard to the difference, however, with regard to Shabbat. But Shabbat, we say Shabbat counts. Shabbat also has the Kiddush Hayom. Shabbat is also a holy day. So why is it that Yom Tov, we say that the Avelus is broken, but with regard to Shabbat, we don't say the Avelus is broken? That's a question that the Mepharshim deal with. But basically, two reasons are given. One reason is, first reason is, that it's in Shiva 7 days, right? Now, it's impossible to have 7 days unless you count Shabbat. So, since it's impossible to have 7 days without Shabbat, they say, you must say that Shabbat counts as one of the 7 days. Otherwise, you're never going to have 7 days of mourning. But this type of logic really presents a difficulty. Because if something's impossible, just because it's impossible, there's no reason to say that it's impossible, so we can't have it. Why should we say just because it's impossible? So we're going to make Shabbos into a day of Avelus. I mean, we can't convert Shabbos into a day of Avelus because we have no other recourse. I mean, Shabbos has its own character, and if by definition Shabbos is not a day of Avelus, so we can't say we want to have Shiva. So therefore, we since we insist on having Shiva, we're going to count Shabbos. It doesn't count. It doesn't count. We can't have it. The problem, what will we do? I don't know what we'll do. But you can't just say because you want to have it that it should be so. Allah must take into consideration and must be rational and must have an understanding of what's going on here. You can't just say Shabbos counts. So the answer, I believe, is that what the Mepharshim mean here is that a week is impossible without Shabbos is that really that the concept of Shiva is one entity. Shiva is a week. That's the halacha of Shiva. Shiva is a week. That's the time span. The unit of a week. There are seven components, but these components make up one unit of a week. Now, since every week, by definition, has one day, which is Shabbat, so Shabbat is not an alien thing. Shabbat is really a part of the week. Since Shabbat is part of the week, it doesn't break up the Avelus. Because by definition, the week means 6 days, Kol, and one day Shabbat. Now, since Shabbat is part of the makeup of a week, so it counts insofar as the verb is concerned. Mm-hmm. Yom Tov, however, is not a natural component of the week. So Yom Tov comes along, it's new, and something new is happening. Something new is not part of the week, it breaks the other. Shabbat can be counted because it's a component of the week, it's a characteristic of the week, and Shiva is a week. So naturally, it includes Shabbat. Because by definition, whenever you say week, you must mean 6 days Chol, one day Shabbos. That's the definition of a week. And since Shiva was formulated in terms of a week, the week naturally includes Shabbos. But Yom Tov isn't part of a week. So if Yom Tov falls out in the 7 days, there goes Avelus and God. That's one reason that is given. Another reason that is given is based upon the well-known halacha of Avelus with regard to Shabbos. With regard to Shabbos, we say that an Ovel does not do any overt action of Avelus. No overt demonstration of Avelus and Shabbos. However, privately in his house, whatever he does privately in his house, there he must keep the halachas of mourning.
he can't demonstrate to the public that he's an Aleph. Famous story of Ben Tam. Ben Tam always received the shlishi in his shul, and he was an Aleph 1 week. An Aleph was not allowed to learn Torah, so an Aleph on Shabbos probably is not allowed not to learn Torah. So as soon as he's not allowed to learn Torah, they don't want to call him up to Torah. But really, when a person is up in Torah, it's in the Torah, he's learning Torah. So Ben Tam said, no, if you have to. You have to give me my aliyah this week. Because if you wouldn't give me the aliyah, you wouldn't give me the shlishi, so then it would be an overt demonstration, because everybody is used to the fact that I always get them always called up. The shlishi, if you don't do it, it would be an overt demonstration. Overt demonstration of Shabbos.
How about change the tea for sure? Change the tea for sure. Include Shabbos.
Ain't a harm. But changing the thing is not one of the
show Alex shows of it.
It's true. It's a good question. But the change where you sit really is not one of the Yud Alex Varm. So there really are 11 things that an oval is occupying. The really Surya Avelis are 11 things. Change your seat is not one of those 11 things. You're not allowed to do anything which is really halachically a demonstration of Avelis. That's not considered a lovely reason. It's not one of the things. Now the halacha, these mafarshim want to get a different reason. They want to say that why is it that a Shabbos counts? For a very simple reason. That's the Rambam gives you. Because on Shabbos, private halachas apply. Whatever the person does privately keeps. So that's why Shabbos can count, because you see, you keep some of the laws of the morning that count. But Yom Tov, you don't keep any halachas whatsoever. That's the way the Rambam maintains. Rambam, by the way, disagrees. Rambam maintains that even on Yom Tov, you can't do privacy. But anyway, we'll go now with Shabbos. This is the other reason we give. The question, of course, we have to ask according to these mafarshim is why is it? What kind of a compromise is that? I mean, if Shabbos really is a day that you should keep Avelis, so you should be able to keep it even demonstratively. And if it's not a day of Avelis, then you shouldn't be able to even keep it private. What kind of compromise is private, public, and Marsha? Is it a day of Avelis or not? What kind of halfway measure is it? No one really, I haven't really seen anyone that gives an explanation for it, but I was thinking myself about the concept of Shabbos. See, Shabbos really, there are two aspects to Shabbos. The Rambam says in the Moreh Nevuchim, the Rambam says that in the first affairs of Dibrit, it says, Kishesh Yisrael Mosad Hashem Asher Shemayim V'Esaret, that the Yonas Kelo Shabbam. And then the second affairs of Dibrit is different. The Ever HaYisrael, the Chantik Ever HaYisrael Beret Mitzrayim. The Rambam says that really there are two concepts, two aspects of Shabbos. One aspect of Shabbos is to demonstrate that God is the creator of the universe. But so there we have to demonstrate, by keeping Shabbos, we demonstrate this fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God created heaven and earth. That's one aspect. But he says, well, there's another aspect. And that has to do with the Yetzias Mitzrayim. That in Mitzrayim, we had to work all the time, and we couldn't stop. So God took us out of Mitzrayim in order that we should have a day for ourselves of Menucha. A day of Menucha. And Menucha, of course, doesn't mean only resting from physical toil, but it means involvement in Chochmah and Torah. That's the purpose of Shabbat. The Shabbos has two aspects. One is a demonstration, and two is a menucha for us. You see, this is expressed in the Kiddush. Why do you say Vayechulu before Kiddush? Or in the tefillah of nighttime, Friday night. Afa kiddush yom ha'shul v'shmacho. So then you say tachlis mashen nafesh shmaya v'aret, and you say Vayechulu. That's really a demonstration of Bria Shmaya v'aret. And the minucha, you say, Atah Hashem Arachad, the Yom Minucha, the Yom Minucha, the Yom Minucha, the Yom Minucha, the Yom Minucha,
That's the aspect of Shabbos which is Menucha that was given to us. So there are two different aspects. And really, Shabbos is something which God gave to us for ourselves, for Menucha. So really, a person's private needs are expressed in the idea of Shabbos. Shabbos, God gave us our own for our benefit to enjoy and to partake in our own menucha to the highest degree. So that's why really I say that a person is in mourning. So since Shabbos is tzorchei ha'adam, it's really for a person. So it's permissible for him to be on Shabbos. That's insofar as the Yom Menucha Kedusha, which was given to him to express according to his needs. However, there's another aspect of Shabbos, and that is the demonstration. To demonstrate, the halacha of demonstration, over there, that's Tzarkei Shamayim. Over there, we're involved with demonstrating that God is the source of the universe, Baruch Shamayim Baruch. So that's why the halacha is like this. Publicly, insofar as we demonstrate, we cannot have avelos, because that would lack in the demonstration of God as the creator. But privately, our own tzrachim, that we can do. That we're permitted to do, and that's why Shabbos was given to us. Actually, the difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov. There's only Tzarchei Shamayim in Yom Tov. The difference of Shabbos and Yom Tov is really that Shabbos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the initiator of the Kedusha. He gave it to us. In Yom Tov, we initiate the Kedusha. Mikra Kodesh. So it's a Mikra Kodesh, so we say that we must now go before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We initiate the Kedusha. The process is begun by us. We must go before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, leave all our needs, everything, and we have to go to Him. There is no avila. Going before Hashem, then you have to forget about your own personal needs. When a Kodesh Baruch Hu comes to us, he's the initiator of the Kedusha, then he initiates the Kedusha on our terms. And our terms takes in the framework of Avela too. The person's an Avela, he has needs, so it takes in his own frame of mind as well. That's why, by the way, you say L'chadodi, for Shabbat, you say L'chadodi. But you don't say L'chadodi for Yom Tov. Why? Because in Shabbat, God is the initiator. He is the one that brings the Kedusha to us. They say, L'chadodi, yeah, we've got Shabbat. We've got Kavli Shabbat in the Kabbalah. So the Rambam said, before L'chadodi, L'chadodi is really at all by the 16th century. But the Rambam said that the minig is brought to the Melech. Everybody would go to the door and they said, Meitei Lukrat Shabbos HaMelech. Rambam would say, Malka. Shabbos HaMelech. But what does it mean in the Melech? What is Shabbos HaMelech, really? Shabbos HaMelech. Shabbos is not a person. Shabbos is not a person. Shabbos HaMelech means Shchina. Yilui Shchina. Yilui Shchina. The Lachar Baruch Hu gives us this Kedusha. The Shabbos is representative of the Shchina. And that's what we say Malka, really. So there, God is the initiator of it. But by Yom Tov, where we initiate the Kedusha, there's no Kabbalah, why are we doing the Kabbalah? We're the ones that initiate the Kedusha, we go to the base of Mikdash, Aliyah Lerego, and Mikra, we call it Mikra Kedush. So then there's nothing to do with the Kabbalah, we're the ones that are going to our Kedush Baruch Hu. He's not coming to us, he's coming to us, then there's a Kabbalah. So when he comes to us, then it's on our own terms, except with regard to demonstration. But on Yom Tov, we initiate the Kedusha, we leave everything, and we go with Nei Hashem. That's the difference. So that's why Shabbos is over, and Yom Tov is not over. Now, we have an interesting series of machlokas over here in the Mishnah of Gosh. The Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Mishachorah, Beit HaMikdash, Atzeres, Kishabbos. The Lord has a whole different view. The Rebbe maintains that in our time, now that there's no Beis HaMikdash, it says Shavuot. The Tzeres of the Mishnah always means Shavuot. It doesn't mean Shemini Atzeres. It means Shavuot. But the Rebbe says that on Shavuot, we count the day of Shavuot as one of the 7 days of Avelos.
strange. Why is that so? What is different Shavuos than Pesach and Sukkot?
So, the Mepharshim will say the reason is more than because there is no Tashlum and Sechar. See, the halacha was that when you brought on the Regolim, Pesach, and Sukkot, we had to bring the Korban Chagiga, the Korban, this was eaten on Yom Kippur. You didn't bring it the first day, so you had 7 days of Tashlum. Bring it in any of the succeeding 7 days. And Shavuos only has 1 day, in the Torah, you have 6 more days. So the Lord says that when the Beis HaMikdash was in existence, so there was really 7 days that were related to the Yom of Shavuos, then you can't count Shavuos. However, now that there is no Beis HaMikdash, there's only 1 day, so then you can count Shavuos. Obviously, Rabbi Elazar was working with a totally different premise. Because if you're going to say that the reason why Yom Tov can't count as a Avelos is because you're standing with Mei Hashem and it's Simcha. So when it's a Yom Simcha, it can't be defined as a Yom Avelos. That very nice formulation that we had before, if you're going to maintain that, then certainly one day Shavuos shouldn't count. Doesn't matter if it's only 1 day. But it's a day of Simcha. We just said that a day of Simcha can't count as a day of mourning. So what's the rationale of Rabbi Eliezer to maintain that even Shavuos, which is a Yom Tov, still counts as a village? That's one point we have to understand, Rabbi Eliezer. The other point you have to understand, Rabbi Eliezer, is what's the difference between 1 day or 7 days? Who cares? What's the difference between 1 day or 7 days? And Rabbi Eliezer maintains that Atzeres is just like Shabbos, the same as Shabbos. Now, it would seem that Rabbi Eliezer has a whole different formulation, entirely different formulation. You see, he has a different understanding as to why on Shabbos we say Dvarim Shebetzin Noe. That's the basic halacha that everybody agrees on. On Shabbos, Dvarim Shebetzin Noe. According to Rabbi Eliezer, the reason why on Shabbos we maintain that Dvarim Shebetzin Noe has nothing to do with what we explained before, that the nature of the day of Shabbos. But rather, it has to do with the halacha of Avelos per se. With the halacha of Avelos per se. Let me see if I could make it a little more explain. The Ravlovin maintains that the reason why Shabbos counts is, again, not because it's 1 day of the week, but because he maintains that 1 day, you see, from Shabbos, since Shavuos is a whole week, the end of the week, 1 day is not enough to break the character of the week. One day of the week is not really Avelos, not full-fledged Avelos. Doesn't matter. It still counts. However, if you have 7 days, that's impossible. You can't tell me that 7 days is going to count. You can't have a break of 7 days. 1 day could be nigra, where the 1 day actually has the characteristic, it partakes of the whole week. 1 day doesn't break up the character of the entire week. So therefore, it doesn't maintain that be it Shabbos or be it Yom Tov, you see, doesn't make any difference really. As long as it's only 1 day of the week, that day is absorbed in the entity of the week, and it's considered not noticed, because the most of the week, the other 6 days are available, and this 1 day is simply absorbed in the week, and it doesn't really break up the entire week. To give you an example, halacha is that you have to have a yom to catch that half a day has to be Rosh Hashanah. After the day, a person's supposed to learn Torah. Does that mean if a person doesn't learn for 5 minutes, it's not a chet to Rosh Hashanah? No, but you see from the Rambam that half of the day that you learn, you're allowed to have kiddush and everything. It means the essential character of the half of the day has to be Hashem, has to be Torah. Same thing with the essential character of the week has to be Avelos. 1 day doesn't take away from the essential character. However, why is it that you have to keep the Dvarim Shabbos, you know? Why must the person abstain the Dvarim Shabbos, you know? Here's what we mentioned before. There's really no contradiction between a person being an offer, a person keeping Avelos, the Isuri Avelos, you see, and keeping no contradiction. It doesn't say that you have to put on shoes. So therefore, the Isurei Avelos which are not demonstrative of being an Ovo, a person can keep. There's no reason to remove those Yisurei Avelos from it. However, if a person will do an action publicly, will go without, will wear sneakers publicly in shul, that's already demonstrating Avelos. That is prohibited. That he cannot do anything. Yantafi cannot be any demonstration of Avelos, because Yantafi Avelos is non-existent. However, insofar as a person being, insofar as Sheva al Tasa on Yantafi, Sheva al Tasa, there's no chiyuv for him to go and do actions which are can negate the Hilchot Avelos. After all, that day is included in the week. It's true, the day per se, you can't identify the day per se as a day of Avelos, but it has the character, partakes of the character of the week. So since it partakes of the character of the week, so Dvar Shiva Tuna, privately, he doesn't wear shoes in his hand, so who says he's an Avel? No, it's not a demonstration of Avelos. You say, that's the Ramban story, that's the Ramban theory, because Ramban maintains that and every young, that was Dvar Shiva Tuna Neir. Dvar Shiva Tuna Neir, we're talking about it. So why is it, but we say that with Hashem there's no Avelos? The answer is because it's true that you can't do Avelos, you can't do an act, you can't do a performance which would demonstrate Avelos, you see. But since a person is not obligated on Yontif by the laws of Yontif to put on shoes, so there's no reason why he has to do an incident as far as that day, as far as the week, he doesn't do it. But overtly, he can't. That's the theory of Rabbi Eliezer. So it wasn't really maintained.
What do you say about Rosh Hashanah?
Also, when you get there, it's normal. Okay. So that's the reasoning of Rabbi Eliezer. It wasn't maintained really that Yontif, you could always take Yontif and include it in the week. Nevertheless, since it's part of the week, there's no reason to break any open halacha and just to break Avelos, there's no reason to do it. But overtly, it's not allowed to do it. But then he'd be demonstrating that this day is Avelos. The person wears sneakers to show he's demonstrating that it's not a day of Avelos, it's a day of Tuna. But privately, nevertheless, Sheva al Tasa, privately, he should keep it. That's what was a reason. Now, but 7 days, Rabbi Eliezer says, that you can't say that 7 days is going to be absorbed in an entity of a week. You can absorb one day, you can't absorb 7 days. That's ridiculous. So he says, in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, when Shavuot was actually had the characteristic of Shavuot was extended insofar as carbon is concerned for 7 days. You see, so you couldn't say that Shavuot should be counted. But nowadays, that we don't go beyond one day, now it's row or 1 day or 2 days, so then you can count it. Because it can be absorbed in the entity of the week. That's Rabbi Eliezer's formulation. Okay? Now, Rabbi Gamliel says, Rosh Hashanah v'yema kippurim kirgolim. Now you have another machlok. Question is, what happens to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? Do they break the Avelos just like the Shalosh Regolim? Or do we say no? That's a difference. Rav Gamliel says that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim are the same as the regal. There's no difference. They break up Avelos just as much. Of course, Rav Gamliel doesn't agree with Rav Gamliel. Rav Gamliel goes back to the first formulation that we have. Chachamim say that Atzeres, regardless whether it's Bizman Hazeh, Bizman Hamikdash, that doesn't make any difference, always is like the regalim. And Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim are just like Shabbos. We have to understand what this machlok is. What this machlok is consists of. Let's take first the Chacham. Chacham say Atzeres Kergolim. What does it mean Atzeres Kergolim? It means that they say Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim are just like Shabbos. Atzeres Kergolim means it doesn't matter really. See, according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's dependent upon carbon. In Yom Kippur, you really have in Yom Kippur. You have the Kedusha Sayom, means the day is designated as a different day. In what respect is it different? In the first respect that it's different, first major respect that it's different is that it's also Batsias Malach. That's the first condition. You can't do any Malach, Yom Shabbos. That's the first designation. But there's another Kedusha Sayom. There's another separateness of the day. And that is the Kedusha Sayom of Simcha. That's the day of Simcha. Now, Simcha really is expressed primarily in Achilas HaKorban, eating the Korban Chagigah. But the Rambam says, Samachta b'chagecha, what does it mean? It means you should eat the Korban Chagigah. However, he says, secondarily, it means that a person should be a Tomei HaFetel Leh. So Rabbi Eliezer says that if you have 7 days, if the korban extends to 7 days, so you see that the count of the simcha extends to 7 days. So therefore, this mana make this impossible. How does mana that is possible? The chachamim say no. They say that it doesn't matter whether or not you have 7 days. Doesn't matter. Why? Because according to them, the main concept is that it's a day of simcha. The Kedusha Sayyom per se of Simcha. Not the Kedusha Yom per se is long. You only could not has nothing to do with Kovim. As long as the day has the Kedusha Sayyom, so we have the Kedusha Yom of Simcha, so then it breaks the Avelos. And that it has, whether it's Bizman based on the official Bizman, it doesn't make any difference. However, they say like this. What about Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? So Ram Gamliel carries it straight through. He says, let's take a look at Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. Do you have to be Sameach on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? The answer is yes. The Rambam says that all the Moavites are Allah and Simcha. Rosh Hashanah is not like the Gemara and Beit, where the Gemara said that the halacha was that a person is supposed to be chetzel Lashem, the chetzel Lachem, which means half a day has to be enjoyment, eating, drinking. That Gemara, that the pasuk that is quoted, is a pasuk that refers to Rosh Hashanah in Ezra. Pasuk that refers to Rosh Hashanah. So Rosh Hashanah definitely is a day of Simcha. Since Rosh Hashanah is a day of Simcha, there's no question that it should break the Avelos. Yom HaKippurim is also a day of Simcha. The only thing is that the Simcha of Yom HaKippurim is not expressed through Achil and Shseir, not expressed through reading and drinking. The Simcha of Yom HaKippurim is a Simcha of Lefnei Hashem Titaro. That's also a Simcha. The spiritual Simcha of Lefnei Hashem Titaro. Lefnei Hashem Titaro requires Simcha. God is good and he's to us and he's Mechaper HaVeret. That certainly is a day of Simcha. The Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, as the Rambam says, all the Yom HaKippurim are really a time for Simcha. The only thing is that Simcha doesn't have the same expression. Rosh Hashanah is expressed in Achilim Shir, and in Yom Kippur it's expressed in Lefnei Hashem Titaro. There's no contradiction. So therefore, Rabbi Gamliel says that as long as you have the concept of Simcha, that the day has a special kedusha, special designation as Yom Simcha, Avelos falls off. So therefore, I don't care that Shavuot is 1 day, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's 1 day or 7 days. As long as there's a day of Simcha, that's it. It's gone. And it can't be absorbed. However, the Chachamim say no. They say Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim are like Shabbos. The only thing that breaks the veil, according to the Chachamim, are the Shalosh Yigalim. What is unique about the Shalosh Yigalim? And it's interesting, the Shalosh Yigalim really has a special designation in the Torah. Because we read Kol HaBchor. Kol HaBchor Re'eh, Parshas Re'eh. What's the difference between Parshas Re'eh? There's two Parshas in the Torah, really. There's Parshas Re'eh, and then there's Parshas Emor. The difference between Parshas Emor and Parshas Re'eh is Parshas Emor deals with the Yisurim Aloch. That's what Parshas Emor brings down all the Yom Kippur. However, Parshas Re'eh deals with the early Rego, going to the Beis HaMikdash. There it only brings down 3 in Re'eh. You only have Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot. So what is so special about the 3 with Golem? They all have Simcha. The other Mayadesh Rashonim also have Simcha. The difference is that by Rego, I'm only Lifnei Hashem. In the Kiddush of Mokom, I'm only in the Mokom that's Lifnei Hashem. Special designation of Lifnei Hashem is special Simcha. Every day, all Mayadesh Rashonim and Kippur is not Lifnei Hashem. You don't say Vishom Nala and Rav and Shtachava. You say Vishom Nasa Kovetena. Different years in the Jewish month. Because it's not Lifnei Hashem. So here you have another machlokes. What really breaks up Avelos? Is it the special Kedusha of Lifnei Hashem? Being Lifnei Hashem? That's a special designation. And even though there's no Mikdash, but the Lifnei Hashem still exists, the Arbayat is still designated. And the concept of Lifnei Hashem still exists. So even today, there's a separate Kedusha by regular Lifnei Hashem. It's only abstracted it, but it exists nevertheless. So therefore, the Chachamim say, therefore the Chachamim say, right, Chachamim say that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur doesn't break up Avelos. But they maintain in order to break up Avelos, you require a special Kedusha of Lifnei Hashem. Whereas Rabbi Gamliel maintains As long as it's a young simcha, then avelus is broken up. It depends upon the young simcha. So then, naturally, you see, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur will be included.
The Lifnei Hashem Titaro on Yom Kippur is not the same Lifnei Hashem as on Yantif, because on Yantif it's Kedushas Makom, and in Yom Kippur it's a different Lifnei Hashem.